Welcome back to Colt Wrangler Radio.
Hello. Different place, different building.
Different place.
Different time.
We got Caleb Alaman here today.
Hello.
And we are in our buddy Luke Darlin's garage, which is very nice. Got some boots on the wall, some saddles, a bronc halter that he stole. We got Nelson here. Nelson Ruhr. Our producer.
He's hanging on the wall, too.
I'm here.
Caleb.
Yes.
Tell me about your music. This is where we tried to do this interview before, and I couldn't keep a straight face.
No,
I can't. We started having too much fun.
Yeah, no, I can't. Well, it's because we drank a damn 12-pack of beer before I even came on.
Yeah. It's harder to interview, like, your friends, your buddies, your drinking buddies, you know?
Yeah.
It is.
Cause it really is. It's so much easier to do a podcast with somebody that doesn't know you.
Right.
Because you can make shit up, too. Also, I could just be, you know, I was an astronaut for 4 years.
Well, and I already have a perspective of you, whereas if it's somebody else, it's easy because I'm like, I'm wanting to learn about you and break it down and like gain some perspective. And then since we already hang out, it's like I already have a perspective.
Right.
And so it's a different angle of... Anyway, nobody needs to know about this.
What's funny? It all started when I...
But where it fell apart is we started talking about your music, because you're a musician. You make your money as a tour manager for Mike and the Moon Pies. You have a lot of stories and a lot of things to say when it comes to music and the kind of Texas country, red dirt music scene. I know you
hate
that.
Well, I'll say I've hit the road a few times before, but never under my music. I've always had to work for a band to actually go places and do things that normal bands would do.
Right.
My first deal was with Casey Berry in the Live Texas Mosquitoes. We went all over Texas. I don't think we ever left Texas, but he had me as his tour manager, and I was only, 17. I couldn't even get into the bars that we were playing at. And then there's nights where I got to get up on stage and do the whole thing myself. And I don't know. That's how it started. That's how I got to love the traveling aspect of it.
What do you mean by get on stage and do the whole thing yourself?
Well, certain members of some bands, you know, get a little too drunk. And you got to kind of get up there and do their job for them.
So how many different jobs did you have to do when it comes to that?
Just bass and guitar. That's it.
Bass and guitar?
Yeah.
Are you, do you play bass, or you just use your guitar
knowledge? The bass guitar is the first thing I learned, actually, but, I mean, I'm not very good at it, but it's definitely the first thing when I started into playing music in, I don't know what, probably, high school, I guess, junior high, high school, that was the first instrument I picked up was bass.
Whenever you're working with a band, did they ever kind of rely on the fact that you would just fill in for them? So they're like, well, if I get super trashed and...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. It happens all the time.
Really?
Yeah, it happens to this day.
You play with Mike and the Moon Pies sometimes?
I do the sound checks, yeah, sometimes.
Oh, there's a lot of times where the roadies
are... Yeah, I'm definitely okay with doing that.
The sound checks.
Yeah. But sometimes, you know... That's
do you
not
sound
normally.
Check everything or
no,
just some mics. Guys like I'm gonna slip
just
in.
Mike's deal.
Okay, got you,
but not all the time. That's a very rare occasion.
So whenever you moved here to New Braunfels and we started hanging out consistently, you were kind of doing different jobs. You were roofing for a little bit.
I first moved here from Stephenville a little over a year ago from working in the oil field. I had enough money saved up to where I can actually move.
That's
which
right.
costs a lot of money.
Nobody, that's what you were doing.
Moving costs a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That's a lot.
Yeah, moving far.
Yeah. So I moved down here from Stephenville, and I moved to Stephenville originally to play music, but I just got drunk the whole time for 5 years, so figured I need to get the hell out of there. I actually went on a date with this girl who was, it was on September 11th, and I was like, oh, do you remember where you were when the towers fell or whatever? She's like, I wasn't born yet. I was like, all right, I need to go. Time to go.
Time
to move. It was bad.
Yeah. So. It's weird the perspective that I've always put on the age of kids in high school, the college and whatnot, because, you know, in me, my parents rodeoing a lot and stuff. I grew up a lot of the time homeschooling.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then when I did go to school, I was in more of like a private school, because we could, if we weren't in school, we could still do our work on the road. So like when we were home, I was at a little bit more of a smaller school where, you know, it was like you graduate class of like two, whereas the public school will graduate like 20 to 40.
Right.
Right. So both schools were still super small. But you don't have a lot of perspective. And like there was a lot of times where I was like the only high school kid in the school. And but you watch all the movies and you're like, high school kids are so old, you know? And then you look back on it and you realize it's because it's a bunch of 30-year-olds playing right. High school kids.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And same with all the college movies, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And now, you know, that I've hit that 30-year mark and I'm actually the age of those people I see watching on TV. And then I actually go hang out with kids that are in college. I'm like, oh, my God, they're so young.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's because I never went to school.
But it's also, it's weird. It's reversed, too. Like, whenever I found out, like, how old Post Malone was or something, I'm like, holy hell.
How old is he?
He's, like, younger than us. He's, like, I don't know, 28 now, maybe?
That guy, like, when you see him, you can almost smell him when you see him on TV.
Smell-o-vision.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Smell-o-vision. So, when you, yeah,
anyways,
when you
yeah, to, yeah, yeah. So I moved to New Braunfels and I still had some money in my pocket. I was doing pretty good in the oil field. And then COVID kind of took its toll on all that, on the oil field hard. And, the pay got changed up and all that. So I was like, yeah, I'll just quit that. And then surely I'll find something down here.
Uh-huh.
And right then, the Moon Pies hired me to do merch.
Right.
And I was, that was my only job. And then
that's what I wanted to get at. It was kind of cool how you went from like merch guy, you know, just needing a little gig to like now you're the tour manager.
Yeah. It's way less complicated than that, though. It was literally just we got a phone call that our tour manager had left us for another band overnight. And
what band?
Can
you say that?
Yeah. It was Reckless Kelly.
Okay,
he's not with them anymore now. Now he's doing the last tour.
He's already moved on?
Oh, yeah. Now he's doing the last tour for Robert O'Keefe. He's doing that now. He really climbed the ladder fast.
Wow. Is that all it takes?
Yeah, but it's his retirement tour, so I don't know what he's going to do next. But it's a tight-knit community, I've found out, like through all the tour managers, through the scene. I didn't know anything about all that before I got in. So it's pretty tight. Everybody's cool. And I can call him to this day if something's going on. He'll tell me what's good. Like, he built the whole system. I'm just, like, a plug-and-play kind of guy right now.
Yeah.
Or at least I was whenever I first jumped in about a year ago to the tour manager spot. It was a plug-and-play system, and I've kind of got to tweak it myself now.
So let's go through the daily life of a tour manager. Let's start on a good one, or me? You. Because you're the only one I know.
You want me to tell you the truth or the
no? I want to hear
the actual job description.
Like, nope, I don't want to hear the job description. I want to hear what you do. Like, let's say, so you're probably guaranteed Friday, Saturday at every weekend.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
So let's start on Thursday. What happens?
Thursday, I get everybody together, figure out where we're meeting everybody, or if they're driving to my house to get in the Sprinter, or if we're on a bus call with a big tour bus, then. Got to arrange where we're going to park everybody's cars.
What makes the difference between driving the Sprinter for the weekend and getting on the tour bus?
Tour bus is way, I won't say it's easier for me. It's just a little less stress off of me knowing, like, somebody's in control of the bus, like, driving us and stuff.
Do you have to drive the Sprinter?
Yeah, we all take turns driving the Sprinter.
Okay, you don't have a driver for the Sprinter.
No, we don't have
But your Sprinter's not driver. Just a normal Sprinter. Like,
No, it's decked out. We got the bunks and stuff.
It's like a mini tour bus.
It is, yeah, very mini.
Yeah.
And we got a couple big fellas in the band, so...
Yeah.
It doesn't work out all the time.
Right.
And with the Sprinter, we have to get more hotel rooms when we're on the road.
But you can sleep in that Sprinter.
Oh, yeah, that's... Me and Mike stay in that every night. Okay. I don't ever get a hotel room.
Okay. Why is that? Why is it that you and Mike.
I like sleeping in tight little places.
Yeah.
That didn't sound right. I just like the. No, but I like it. Being in the little coffin. It's cold, and you just shut the curtain, and.
No, actually, I do.
It's dark. You can't even see your hand. It's probably the best I've ever slept is in a bunk of a tour bus.
When I mean, I've slept in a lot.
When like the generator's going, it just rocks you to sleep, man.
All the rodeo rigs my parents were in. When we had some horse trailers that were bunk beds, and then. We used to live in this bus that was a Greyhound bus. It was an old Eagle, which was like the standard for tour buses back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
It was just one of those big Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
They had converted it, you know. It didn't have all the windows in it anymore like they had done. It was – but we lived in that for like 3 years straight pretty much, family of four. So, yeah, I get it, man. That'll put me to sleep.
Oh,
like
yeah.
A little bed.
The road will rock you right to sleep, man. I love it so much.
The
only thing that's sketchy – whenever it's a big bus, like, and we lease our buses, we don't have our bus yet, and we don't have a bus driver set yet, so each time we lease a bus, we get a different bus driver, and that comes with a whole nother job for me.
Bus drivers are a different
having
breed.
To learn them, and like, so in the mornings, I have to get up at like 7 a.m., or whenever we're set to leave, I have to be up and set up there with them and get a plan going for the day, and then I can go back to my bunk, but... and that's after staying up till 4 a.m. partying with the band.
Yeah.
So
you're up till at least 3 loading out.
Yeah.
Most of the time,
yeah.
Right?
And then
get some drinks after.
Yeah, and then you hit the bars after that or
you're
go
hanging out at the bar after it's closed.
Or just hanging out on the bus. You know, the buses are fun. But.
Well, what I want
to
know.
Yeah, so when you're driving down the road and. You'll be in your bunk just enjoying your slumber, and then all of a sudden you feel a rumble strip, and you wake up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Just hope you don't hear the second rumble strip, because if that means the bus is going off the road. And it happens a lot more than people think.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Has it happened to you?
No, not yet.
But, like, I'm sure there's a lot of bands and guys you've talked to that it's happened to them.
Yeah. I was talking to, I think it was Wade Bowen's crew. They were with the Blues Brothers. And their bus driver drove them off the road. They said the same thing. Like they heard the first rumble strip, and I think he was texting and driving or something. I don't know. But then went off the road and hit a bridge embankment, and that messed some of the guys up pretty bad.
Really?
But, yeah.
They
so
flipped the bus over?
After you hear a story like that, once you hear a rumble strip, it's like, oh no.
Yeah. Well, I know the feeling though, because like I said, we that family of four, we lived in that bus for. Probably about 3 years.
Were you homeschooled during the bus times?
Yeah, a lot of the times, yeah. If my parents were on the road for, you know, sometimes we'd just be gone for a week. Sometimes we'd be gone for, like, months, you know?
Yeah.
Most of the time it was summertime, though, when we'd be gone. We'd be gone all summer.
What was the air conditioner situation like?
They were pretty good. It had like, two top window units. So
it seems like we're cursed with air conditioners on our buses.
And there's plenty of times when we've had problems or had to change them or you hit it. Low limb or something,
yeah,
or, you know, rip it off because those suckers are tall, and
they
that's
are.
The,
they
that's
are.
What's scary about
even
riding
the sprinter,
in them.
Man. I have a hard time sometimes in the sprinter.
Well, and that side
pulling
profile,
into some of these dinky bars we play,
that's true. But you get that wind will toss you around, man.
I've actually,
always
I'll can I tell you a story?
About it flipping over.
Let me tell you a story about whenever we found out the tour manager was leaving, he actually went on their last run with us. To show me the ropes a little bit. And we went to Sacramento, California. And we pulled into this. They told us where to park
Did
the bus.
Did you drive from Texas?
Oh, yeah.
To there? Okay.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, we're on the bus, big bus. And we pull in at, like, 7 a.m. So, no, like, nobody that owns the bar or works at the bar is there at 7 a.m. They just tell us where to park, and then they'll be there at 3 when we load in. So they tell us where to park, but they had forgot to mention that during COVID, they made their parking lot an outdoor seating area. So they had the low, like, outdoor lights. So at 7 a.m., we pull in there, and every air conditioner caught every single one of those lights and pulled them down.
Yeah.
But it didn't ever break the lights. It just bent the poles. Like, they almost hit the bus. I stopped the bus driver just in time. And me and the other guy had to get up on top of the bus and pick up the rope lights and move them over each air conditioner as we pulled forward in downtown
really
Sacramento, California.
You probably didn't even really feel
Oh,
them.
No. Hell no.
Yeah.
No, that bus could tear down a house, probably.
Yeah. Well, here's what I want to know is, what dictates you guys taking the Sprinter, which the band probably owns, right?
Yes.
And, like, the bus. Like, what special occasion makes you take a
bus? If we're gone for a month at a time, which we're about to be, and then we need a bus. We need more room. You know, it's
so the
seven
band will
guys.
The band will just pay for
Yeah, we'll lease
that,
the bus.
Lease the bus, yeah. Okay. And then that comes with the driver, right?
Yeah, it comes with the driver, and he or she will, you know, keep the bus clean, keep the sheets changed, and all that.
Oh, they do all that.
All that.
They don't just drive.
No. And it's my job to make sure they do all that.
They
got to
do your laundry, the whole deal.
Not the laundry, but the sheets.
Well, where do they wash them at?
Normally, they have just a second set. They have like more than in the bays under. They have like more than one set of sheets.
Got you.
And if we're gone for a month, like three changes will do it.
Yeah. Dang. Well, like, do you get to? I'm sure you get to pick your bus, but do you get to pick your bus driver?
No, you don't. And my first day as tour manager by myself, we went up through. We had to go to Tahlequah, Oklahoma from New Braunfels. We get there, or we get halfway there, and the guy's saying that he's having some bus issues or something. So we pull into this 24-hour bus
repair place
in Dallas.
Is it like a big one with 18-wheelers, too? It's like a huge thing?
No, they only do buses.
Really?
And it's mostly tour buses, too. Okay. So there was like a bunch of really fancy buses and stuff in there. So we were like, oh, okay. I was like, all right, this guy will do it. And we had the night off anyway. We weren't in any hurry, so we just go to partying on the bus in this parking lot and hanging out. And then about it's about 3 a.m. Me and the bus driver went out there, and the guy still hadn't done anything. He was saying the motor was still too hot. He couldn't work on it. It was a turbo issue. So we didn't know what that was all about. So I was like, hey, man, just wake me up at like 7 a.m. And if he hasn't done anything, like the bus is still operable, we can just keep rolling. So around 6 in the morning, he wakes me up and he's making all kinds of noise. He's like, hey, man, this guy's gone berserk, man. You need to come out of here. I was like, what is going on? What do you mean he's gone berserk? And I go out there. I walk up to the front of the bus. And this mechanic has an AR-15 pointed at me and pointed at my bus driver. And he says, you stay on the bus. He comes out here. I'm going to shoot him out here. He's like Middle Eastern, too. It was weird. And so,
what?
And our guy is like 3 tours to Iraq, like veteran. And he's like, this is my first day to meet him. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that this mechanic is crazy, not our bus driver.
Yeah.
So We defuse the situation. Our lead guitar. There's also, all right, let me back base on this. There's also a horse just walking around in this parking lot too. That's the weirdest part of this whole thing. There's like horses walking around in this parking lot in this junkyard of buses. And
what the heck?
So our tour manager, or
are they good looking horses?
Our lead guitar
or are they
player,
scraggly looking.
Oh, scraggly, yeah. Mexican horses.
Got you.
So our lead guitar player gets out with his. He had a pistol on him, and he's just behind this horse watching the whole thing go down. And it was like something out of a Western or something. Just like I'm in the tour bus. The guy won't let me come off the bus. Our bus driver is at gunpoint. Like, I'm thinking he's about to get shot, and he's like yelling at the guy to shoot him. Like, he's like, shoot me. I'm going crazy. And our lead guitar player, Catlin, is out behind this horse just watching the whole thing, waiting for it to pop off. And I finally just get off the bus. I'm like, if he's going to shoot him, he's probably going to shoot all of us. So I might as well just get off and try to defuse this deal. So I get it all defused. Guy puts his gun down. I'm like, hey, man, just let us leave. Just let us get the hell out of here. So he gets back on. We all get back on the bus. And then the bus driver can't turn around with our trailer. Like, we have a trailer on.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, like, it was a tight spot. And I don't know anything about driving a tour bus. I've had my CDL since I was 18, I can drive most things, but I've never driven a bus. And so we're trying to get this out of here. And there's like a tight spot in the back, only one way in, one way out. We get turned around, get out of there. And for the rest of the tour, this guy is just the worst, man. Like, wanting to go to dinner with us, like, always wanting to hang out. And normally...
So what do you think?
So
you
the normal, the norm is once you get to a show, or once you get parked, the bus driver goes to a hotel room, mm-hmm. and you don't see him. He gets his rest, and you don't see him until it's time to leave.
Yep.
This guy wanted to hang out, wanted to party with us. Like, he was like, oh, I just got up, I just was driving, who is he driving? I can't, Black Cherry, or no, Buck Cherry. He was driving Buck Cherry before, and he's like, they let me come out and all this. So I was like, well, I'm not letting you. Like, you need to go to your room. Like, fuck off.
You need to rest anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because
while y'all are sleeping, he's driving.
Yeah, and then it wasn't, like, 3 days in, we were played in Nashville. He couldn't park the bus and, like, got in a fight with somebody else. I ended up parking the bus in downtown Nashville. I had to parallel park this fucking 75-foot bus with a trailer. Yeah. It was crazy.
So what do you speculate happened to where you wake up and the mechanic's pointing AR at this guy?
He had to have gone down there and just ran his mouth, threatened to kill him or something, and then this guy whipped a gun. Because this guy had never been to Texas either. This was this guy's first time to Texas. He was from Arizona or something, and he got his first lesson in Texas right there was, you know, don't talk shit to somebody that has a lot of guns.
Oh, my goodness.
And most of us have a lot of guns here.
And two,
so, and then at the end of the whole tour, I come back home, and then as soon as I walk in the door from this tour, the month-long tour, which Mike had lost his voice, too, during this tour, so we had to cancel, like, the last three shows just to come back home. Because Mike's voice was completely gone. That was a terrible tour. That was awful. It was my first one. So we get back home, and I get a phone call from the police department in Dallas Police Department. And they're trying to follow up on this investigation about this guy pulling a gun on our bus driver. And I was like, man, in hindsight, I'm sure our bus driver did all this shit. Like,
everything that this driver was trying to press charges or something like
that? Yeah, he was trying to press charges on the guy for pulling a gun on him or something.
And you're not liable for him. That's a company that
hired,
right?
Yeah, yeah, that's somebody we hired.
So did you complain to that company afterwards, or how did that go?
Oh, yeah, there was
a...
So at the end of every tour, I have to write a big, you know, this is how things went. And I sent it off, and that was that.
Where's this company out at, like Nashville or something?
Arizona. Most tour bus companies are out of Phoenix.
Oh, really?
Because they don't have to climate control. They don't have to do things to... It's just like a boat. Like, you got to drain all the lines and do stuff if you're not using it.
Right.
Because it'll, like, it won't freeze there or nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So most buses come from Phoenix.
And there's not a lot of humidity. And,
right.
Yeah, it's a really... Well, if you notice, like, a lot of these, you know, car shows, they're in, like, Arizona or Nevada, and they're, you know, they're... rebuilding these old cars, and they're pulling them, a lot of those old cars out of the junkyards in the area because they're not really rusting.
No, they don't rust. They just bake.
Yeah, and there's there's not a winter and snow and, you know. Yeah, it's interesting.
Anyways, go back to your first question. So that's the first start of a tour manager's day is figuring out where to keep everybody and what we're going to be taking, and then I got to contact the venue, tell them we're on the way. Then once we get there, we unload. I'm also the stage manager, so I have to set up the entire stage. Like Zach, our pedal steel player, he'll set up his amp and steel guitar because I don't really know how to do all that. And our drummer will set up his stuff. But other than that, I have to set everything else up. And we're all in ear, so I run all the cables.
And you gotta and all do you that. Have to run the monitors too?
We don't do monitors. It's all in-ear.
Right, but do you run their mixes?
No. I can. I have the iPad, and during the show I do that. But the program that we have, they can all do it off their phone. So everybody has their phone close by, and they can tweak it.
I've played at churches that it was like that. It's like X-Pro something.
Yeah, the M32 is what we use.
Okay, yeah, that's it. Yeah, and that's kind of handy.
It's real handy. It's real nice, especially for, like, festivals and stuff like that. It's just all we need is a front-of-house guy, and everything else we're completely contained. We have our own microphones on mic stands. We just need a clean stage with power drops in the front and then the back.
Yeah.
and then everything else is on me. I set everything else up.
So do you feel like you've had opportunities to play or show your own music, like working with all these other bands and stuff?
Yeah, every now and then.
Helped you personally?
Yeah, like if we do like a big festival and we're there for more than one day, then I'll get to go out and jam with some of the guys and stuff. Or, like, for instance, that Sacramento show that I was talking about where all the lights got tore down. The opener had to bail because of COVID, and so I got to open up the show on that one. And it was, like, a sold-out show in California, my first time to go to California, so that was cool.
Dang, that's real cool.
Yeah, it was
cool. How long did you have to play?
I think I just did, like, an hour.
Okay.
And I don't remember.
You have, you know, quite a bit of material and have quite a bit of...
No, I don't. I just pull it out of my ass as we go.
Really?
Yeah, I used to have like a good set. I could do, at whenever I was playing music full time in Amarillo by myself, I could do 4 hours without even stopping.
Golly.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
And the only reason I did that is because I played this Mexican restaurant and they paid $100 an hour, and I was like, oh, okay. So that means I can play as many hours as I want and get as much money, right? Because the manager was never there, so I just played like 4 hours and then be like, oh,
somebody would just pay
me. Yeah. How and long it's faster to just do the 4 hours instead of taking breaks.
Right.
And it being a restaurant, like, people would leave and go.
So you could,
so I could stay. Yeah, I could play another song, yeah.
Yeah.
That I played the earlier the night.
Yeah. Heck yeah. When did they put an end to that?
When they found out I was doing that. So probably
they thought you were only going to play
it. I did like 4 months. Yeah, I did it for like 4 months every Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah, I made some money off of them. So thank you, Joe Tacos.
Yeah. I mean, come on, $400. They can do it.
I remember being in college and I realized that I had 90 minutes worth of music. And I was like, oh, boys, let's start booking them. So we'd book just the worst places ever. But when your buddies that had 4 or 5 or 6 songs would come up and play, and
yeah,
you'd book the same gig with them, like, yeah, you got music for 90 minutes?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm good. And then 6 songs in, they're like, I'm out of songs. Like, at least I could cover the rest of it.
I can't tell you how much it pisses you off to, like, be, like, in the, like, playing big shows and stuff, and you look back and it's like, son of a bitch, dude, that guy was probably making so much money, and I just went up there and played my heart out, like...
Oh, yeah, like...
Exposure.
Ugh, dude. I'm still in that phase 20 years later.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah, old Dylan Sampson, he was talking about... They've been doing those reunion shows with Dolly Shine and the Damn Quails and stuff.
Yeah.
He told me what each man got paid. I'm not going to say it, but for those Dolly Shine reunion shows, I was like, what? He's like, yeah. I was like... What? For real?
Good or bad?
Very good.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I he's like, yeah, our drummer even said if he can't make it to something, that they ought to hit me up. And I was like, yeah, for that price, I'll learn that set.
Yeah.
I'll learn that set damn good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, wow. It's like, yeah, I've been so, like, I'm at a point where it's like, ooh, I get to play this little gig, and I go home with $100. Cool. Like,
yeah,
you know? But
and then when you're in the scene long enough, you get a deal like Jonathan Terrell just got. He's in Midland now.
What? Like,
yeah, they're...
backup?
No, one of the guys is just taking a break off the road, and they said, hey, come step in. And yeah. You get on his Instagram and he's got like a new boat, new house, new.
Yeah, I mean, you know, well, how many of these guys are like Kevin Fowler, for instance? Like, I can't remember the last time that guy put out a new song.
Smart with his money, though.
He's very smart. That's what I'm wondering. It's like, okay, is because he's
dated
obviously
my mom in high school.
Did he?
Yeah, and I always fuck with him. I'm like, hey, dad.
Did he remember that? Do you think he's your dad?
No, he's not my dad, but. It's fun to fuck with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He definitely remembers my mom. Yeah. We've talked about it before.
Why do you think he remembers your mom?
Like, what about? They all went to high school together.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Is your mom a pretty wild woman, and that's memorable?
Oh, yeah. My mom's wild, man. She's been to prison twice. She's wild.
I remember we were out drinking. It was like last summer or something. And you had quite a few. And you started talking about your mom. And I was like, holy shit. Like,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you were upset at the time because I guess she got in trouble with the law, like, and I think she still kind of, like, takes care of your little brother.
Yeah.
He's like a teenager, right?
Uh-huh.
And I guess your brother called you, and you were pretty upset about some shit.
Yeah, I think she got busted for some stuff that a grown woman should not be getting busted for, and involves hotel rooms and stuff. And it was all over the news, was the bad deal. It was like...
With her face and everything?
Oh, yeah, they busted like 20, or no, over 100 people. But they used her mugshot as like the news deal. I'm like, oh my son God. Of a bitch.
How old is your mother?
I think she just turned 40, 45, I think.
Yeah, that's about how old my dad is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't
or
know.
Or no, he's not.
We're not off. As close like as we were, but you know, that's my life is literally a David Allan Coe song.
So she had you when she's pretty young.
Yeah, she had me when she was 19.
Yeah,
18 or 19.
Are you the oldest?
Yeah, yeah. I was a single kid until I was like 8. Only kid.
Yeah.
Not single kid. I was a single kid.
He
just
didn't
out
start
on the prowl.
He didn't start dating till he was.
Yeah, I didn't.
He didn't have a girlfriend.
I was
eight.
Bachelor till I was like 8. Yeah, and then my mom remarried to this piece of shit guy who beat her and beat me and yeah, and then they had a kid.
How
together.
Long did that last?
Quite a while, longer than it should have. We moved from Amarillo down to. Rockport, Texas,
mm-hmm.
And those are like as bad as it
Talk
was.
About
those
a
are
big
my
difference.
Fondest memories, though. Like growing up down there.
Yeah,
we were down there.
Rockport's cool.
4 years, and then they were together 4 years, but he was always a problem in our lives until I was probably like probably 13.
So would his anger issues and stuff come out when he was drinking or?
Yeah, I mean, looking back now, They were both on some hard shit, too, meth and stuff like that.
And they're just kind of out of their
but
minds.
But, yeah, when I was so young, I didn't even know about all that. I just knew that he was wrong.
And that's your younger brother's dad?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know what their relationship is like nowadays, but probably not good. I think he's locked away for good now. They finally got him.
You know why?
Just so many times, you know, you only get arrested so many times for the same thing before they're just like, all right, you're done.
What's it feel like to have, like, your mother arrested? I can't imagine that.
Man.
Did it happen ever when you were young?
No, never when I was young.
Because that would freak me out.
Never when
kid.
I was young. That was the whole thing. Like, that guy, my stepdad, or my first stepdad, my little brother's dad, would come over and just beat the shit out of her and my little brother and me and... Finally, I was old enough to raise a gun up to him, and I never pulled a trigger or nothing, but I definitely pointed a gun at him to get it out of the house, or so many times we had to pack up and run away, like, he's on his way, like, we gotta get out of town, like, we gotta run,
mm-hmm.
Shit like that.
My dad has some, like, he's got some weird stories like that.
Yeah.
But
it's wild, and my mom was always, like, she was a nurse then, and, like, had her shit together, and, like, other than going back to him, or, like, having him around.
So do you think she was at, there was a point where she was, I mean, to be a nurse, like, that's a tough job. You got to know a lot. You got to go through a lot of schooling. You got to take a lot of financial
risk. Oh, yeah. She did all that and while raising me, too, you know.
Yeah. So she probably wasn't on drugs at that point.
No, no,
no. She was
probably
pretty clean.
Yeah.
So do you think that
her
relationship with men is what took a spiral downward?
Of course, yeah. That seems to be most... women's story too
and men.
I don't want to come off misogynistic, but that's, you know, and same with, like, I don't know, it's a slippery slope to talk about,
but it is funny. It's like,
but then
what
she,
comes
my mom
first,
remarried
like...
to this guy in Panhandle, and we moved out there on this ranch and stuff, and you know, he was a great guy, still is. I still text him on happy, you know, tell him happy Father's Day every Father's Day, and like, he's a great guy, and my mom had a daughter with him.
Okay.
So I have a little sister who now races stock cars. Like, he's got her and his other son race stock cars and stuff together. She had like her first race the other
day. And how old is she?
She is 16.
Okay, so she so she's a little bit older than her. How old's your younger brother?
Well, I have a 23-year-old little brother, and then her, who's 16, and then another little brother that's like 12, I think.
Gotcha. Okay.
I hope he doesn't listen to this. I don't remember how old he is. Well,
yeah,
that's what stuff happened. And
saying
then,
it's like, do you think a lot of people can get hard in the drugs and like that downward spiral because of bad relationships or vice versa? I guess it could go.
It goes either way. It
goes either way.
Yeah, man. Drugs just do what drugs do.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, you know, being in the panhandle,
in the panhandle
of Texas, they're bad.
And your mom, yeah, that's true.
It's a lot like the, you know, the opioid epidemic in the Appalachians. Meth.
Yeah.
And the Texas panhandle is a vicious wolf.
I never knew it. You know, I was very naive about it, but like growing up in the hill country, and that's the drug of choice in all these small towns. And I didn't know the signs of it. I just thought there's some just kind of skinny, weird people that act funny at the gas station.
But then they're a breed of their own, and they start, you know, mixing and mingling with each other, and, you know, you can spot them at any gas station.
Yeah.
They're, you know, you see, like, a really pretty girl, and she's, like, just dating this douchebag with white framed sunglasses, Oakley's, driving a stupid truck, and well, I know where their future's headed.
Right,
It's pretty fucked up, but that's just how it is in Amarillo and that area, but...
I've never really...
She wasn't on all that stuff until... I don't know what happened with the last marriage with them. I really... That's kind of when I checked out of everything. I checked out of school and all that shit. I just wanted to play music and travel and do my thing. And that was also around the time my grandpa passed away, who was like my father figure growing up. So I really just checked out altogether right there.
When did you leave the house?
17.
Got you.
Same. Yeah, I went on my lunch break. I went into Amarillo and took my GED test and never went back.
Yeah.
And I was working for the highway department like the next week.
That's
making like
job.
$15 an hour. Yeah, all my friends were. I had my own house in Canyon, and that was about like an hour away from my hometown. So like all my friends would come party and they'd have to go back to school the next day. And I was like,
losers.
Should have got your GED. Now they're doctors, and I'm doing a podcast.
right? Yeah. Oh, man. So from there, you know, you're 17. You're working a full-time job. You got your own house.
Yeah, and by then, they had split up. We moved into town off the ranch, and then that's whenever I got into dirt bikes real hard, and because my alley...
Well, what ranch? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Oh, it's just like a...
Like, whose like was it?
200 acres of my stepdad's.
Okay, the guy that would beat you.
No. This is the last stepdad, the good one.
The good one.
Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah.
So is that where you learned a little bit of cowboying and stuff?
A little bit. I had always been around all that growing up on, like, the LX ranch growing up and the RO ranch in Clarendon. And that was just my grandpa taking me around all these places.
Yeah.
The Range Riders in Amarillo. It was like a... Like a club for guys that just wanted to be a cowboy for the weekend kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that actually started the WRCA.
Gotcha.
So they would
just go day work and stuff? Like.
Yeah, they go day work or just like
have
team ropings on the weekends. And then they'd have a really big 4th of July rodeo in Amarillo. It was the biggest in Texas at the time. Outdoor rodeo. It was the biggest outdoor rodeo. Was in Amarillo at the Range Riders. But I grew up doing all that, and that's where all the rodeo and cowboy stuff.
Tell me that story about the you working at the 4-6s.
Oh, shit, dude. I was so pumped, man. I was like, that was when I was like 16, and I was punchy, man.
That 16-year-old Colt was like tall tops tucked in every day.
Oh, yeah, tall tops tucked in, headed to school, had the trailer on the back of my truck
me
with
too.
A horse in it. And
I was the same way.
And you know, the 5-inch brim taco hat with a big turkey feather in it. I just wanted to be a cowboy, and all my I didn't at that point when I was 16. I did not hang out with anybody in school. Like I did my school, and I got out of school, and I went to go hang out with like guys that were like 20s and 30s that were actually cowboying and stuff.
Yeah.
And so one of them lined me up with this job on the 4/6s in the Panhandle by Borger, where they're filming all that bullshit show now. And I finally was like, yeah, I'm get to go work on the 4/6s the first day I got there. They put a weed eater in my hand and said, yep, you work on the 4/6s.
Did you keep your spurs on while you're weed eating?
Dude, I was so pissed.
How long did that last?
Like a month or two.
Yeah, month of weed eating.
Yeah, a month of weed eating. I got to go down to like the main 4/6s and like ride a horse through the pasture once, but didn't get to throw a rope or do anything cowboy.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, but I weed eat the fuck out of that place.
Oh, shoot. So then, you know, you're doing all that, and then you said kind of after that point you started getting into riding dirt bikes and stuff?
Yeah. So my alley to my house went straight out down this, and it connected to this dirt road that went out to this little section of land they called the square where, like, all the high school kids hung out. And it had, like, this big pit with a it had this big pit dug out of it, and all the dirt that they used for the pit was right next to it, and we built all kinds of jumps and shit.
Was it like an old quarry or something? Like a
no, it wasn't that big. It wasn't that big. It was probably as big as this garage. Like, not a big pit, okay. But we built some cool jumps, and, like, everybody mud their trucks through the pit. Uh-huh. But that road went straight to my alley, so anytime the cops, like, would come after us, it'd just go right home into my garage. But me and my friends would just stay up. You know, this is before we were drinking, so we'd just stay up talking about girls and taking apart our motorcycles or dirt bikes and putting them back together, talking about how we wanted to be Travis Pastrana or something.
I still want to be Travis Pastrana.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's cool.
But yeah, that's where, like, the motorcycle thing came from for sure.
Dude.
Can we take a break? I got to piss.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good. And we're back.
And we're back.
I was waiting for you to finish your text message, and I realized you were on Instagram, so I was like, oh.
No, yeah, I was just watching a video.
I was just going to sit here and be polite. Yeah, so you were talking about riding dirt bikes and doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
And now you've, when I first met you, you had just bought an Iron Head.
Man, I got real big into the dirt bike thing.
Oh, did you?
There. Oh, yeah.
Tell me more about it. Oh, and you did, like, downhill mountain bike stuff, too.
Yeah. I mean, that was just a little hobby thing.
Yeah.
But the dirt bike thing, I did the arena cross every time it came to town, and the Lubbock arena cross. I sucked. But I just wanted to, you know, be lawless and raise hell on a dirt bike. It was a lot more fun. So I met this guy who was in my grandparents' neighborhood. I would, like, they were building my grandparents' neighborhood at the time. So they had, like, a field with nothing but construction dirt and stuff. And, like, we built a dirt bike track out there. It was badass. And I'd be out there one night, and this dude, I just hear this guy, like, getting after it on a bike out there. And I'd go out there, and this dude had brought, like, his metal ramps and stuff, and he was doing, like, backflips to dirt with his bike, because I'm like, holy shit, this is badass. Dude,
heck yeah.
Yeah, like, this is exactly what I want to do. Like, this is nuts. So I met him. His name is Justin Mize, and he was, like, he was on Team Faith. Like, he was a real big Christian guy. So, like, to hang out with him, I had to go to these, like, church things and stuff. I got into that. But he,
did you ever become a youth pastor?
No,
I got close.
Yeah, don't get that close, man. But, so I started hanging out with him, and, like, we got to go out to Stillwater, Oklahoma, and I got to jump in the foam pit at Cowboy Kenny's house.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome. And he, like, I got to meet all these, like, badass guys on this Team Faith. Like, one of them was in the X Games, won a gold medal in, like, the arena cross or one of the crosses for X Games. I got to hang out with him, though. It was cool, man. And then after that, I just wanted to ride dirt bikes. So I did that for, like, a few years. I'd, like, go out to the river north of Amarillo. There's, like, this river with all these trails and jumps everywhere. And I was out there, like, every day.
I love riding trails. Honestly, if we could have dirt bikes right now and go ride trails, like, that would be a blast.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, Nelson, you got yours. He's really the dirt bike guy.
Yeah, Nelson's is badass, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, it stemmed from a lot of what you're saying. There was a behind my house that I grew up in, there it was just land, and there was a development going on, and all those houses had fresh, I guess it was sawed dirt.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, because
perfect.
In the hill country, it's all black gumbo.
So yeah.
You can build jumps out of them, but they crumble eventually. Mm-hmm. But these guys would bring in piles of that sawed dirt, and then we just shape just big step-ups or big tabletops and stuff like that. And I'm goofy-footed, but I go left side. So it was great for all the guys that were regular-footed. So we just build jumps one way and just haul ass down the street. Or if there was a hill or something, we just
scream-gutted
on bicycles. And then we all had motorcycles and four-wheelers and stuff like that.
So I wonder, like, do y'all remember, like, dirt bikes was a big thing, like...
Oh, FMX got, like, massive.
FMX did, and so did, like, motocross. Like, I wonder if that's why. Like, because all these towns and cities had developments going on, and, like, you could ride dirt bikes.
Hands down.
That's got to be it, right? Because now it's not a thing at all. Like, now people don't give a shit. You have to have a lot of money to race and do all that now.
To this day.
I was secluded from it completely.
To this day, one of my gun cases, you know, just like a travel gun case.
Yeah.
The code is 199.
Yeah.
We all love Toronto so much.
Oh, so much.
You know, you can buy those little...
Oh, yeah, the little action figures. I mean, yeah, with the tracks. Oh, I forgot all about that shit. You could do a whole track.
Oh, yeah.
So I got into Travis Pastrana, but then, like, just being a little misfit punk kid... Like, I naturally fell in love with the Metal Militia thing.
Christy, Demons of
Dirt. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
when was the last time you went through and looked at those clips?
I have not, Seth, and I won't, because I'll go buy a dirt bike tomorrow if I do.
Oh, my God, he hit that step down.
Over the house?
No, Seth, they were out there in, like...
The Temecula, California.
Wherever,
jumps.
And he hit that step down, but way overshot it. And, like,
broke blasted
his bike
himself.
In half, and,
yeah.
That was insane.
Yeah,
and
so
they gave that to kids.
I can't watch that shit, dude, because I will go buy a bike tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
I miss it so much. But yeah, so I quit doing all that once I moved out, and then got it real big into Texas country music. Then right around then, I fell out of that. And
one interesting thing about you is I've noticed that. You can integrate yourself into a group.
I dabble.
And you dabble. And I mean, I do the same thing. Yeah. I dabble in a lot of different stuff. But, like, you integrate yourself into the group so well, like, everybody knows you. And you almost become synonymous to that group. Like,
I think
you're
that
doing
stems
that with the chopper
from moving
thing
around
right now.
So much when I was younger.
It's like now you're like this chopper guy. You go to every bike show, everybody knows you.
I think that stems from moving around a lot or, like, wanting to be accepted by, like, guys my mom was dating or, like, just wanting to fit in somewhere.
And you've just
learned
how to...
I where all that stems from. So, like, that's why I never...
social skills because of it.
Yeah. That's why I'll never, like, bad talk my mom or anything because if it wasn't for that, I'd probably be, you know...
Well, we knew each other off of Instagram.
Instagram,
for probably... Probably 2 years.
Yeah, social media definitely has helped.
Same here.
A lot of
like,
that,
I met you. Instagram is where we connected. And then, like, I think a year down the road or something, you were at a show in New Braunfels.
It was his show.
That's right. It was your birthday show.
It was a birthday show.
I invited Caleb and Carson Jeffrey, my buddy William, and I. And then.
Yeah, that's where me and Carson met, too.
Yeah. And then, oh, man. Had another friend there, and I'm going to think of it, but I'll think of it later. But yeah, it was one of those cool things to just. Social media is such a crazy thing.
It is.
It is crazy.
Where we knew we were all living the same lifestyle. And
yeah.
We knew we could be buddies. It was just a matter of reaching out. Calvin Cleary.
And I feel like I haven't had that happen again since then, though.
Yeah, so Instagram has taken a different feed. It's not it's not the same.
Like, even in, like, the chopper community now, like, is all on Instagram. Like, you know, everybody posting pictures of their bikes and stuff. Like, I'll reach out to a few guys if I need some help on a bike, but then whenever we're in person, we don't, like, click like that. Like,
yeah.
We're just like, hey.
I've had that happen, or you don't even recognize the
yeah,
person.
Or that too, yeah.
Yeah,
that's you know a, what's that's not, a weird one. But what's worse is whenever somebody calls somebody by their Instagram handle, yeah. And it's like, oh, dude, you're get the fuck out of here.
It
cringy.
Happens. I've
so
had
so cringy.
I've
hey, dog39, what's up? Like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, but the funny thing, like, and kind of going back to the Travis Pastrana deals, a guy I connected with on Instagram, I had to look him up just now. Cameron Brewer, he works for Roland Sands Designs, and he's one of the guys that helped build the Indians that Travis replicated all of the jumps for Evel Knievel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And it was cool, connected with him through Instagram, and then, like, his wife...
you should get him on here.
I would love to. He's in California. But his wife races in the Hare and Hounds on dirt bikes and stuff in the women's class, the women's pro class. And, you know, I haul a lot of the bikes for the guys in Austin and other places out to those Hare and Hound deals. And so then it's like, get to hang out with him there. But it's all Instagram kind of makes those mutual connections. And
yeah, for sure.
It's pretty cool. It just, I don't know. It's a cool network if you use it right, you know?
Definitely.
Well, shoot, honestly.
If I think about it,
I've connected with everyone in this room on Instagram before I've ever met them. You, yeah. Caleb, Nelson, Luke. I was all friends with you guys on Instagram before we met in person. But
I met
what's
Luke
cool,
in a bar in Arizona.
Well, that's a better story. That's more like a good dating story.
Dude,
right?
That was a wild adventure, that was.
Let's hear about it.
Oh, shit, dude. So my dad, biological father, supposedly, that's still up in the air.
Kevin Fowler, right?
Yeah. No, but this guy, father figure, his name's Robert, had a buck and bull company and wanted to get into the rodeo scene being a stock contractor. I don't even know what the hell he's trying to do, actually. He started this thing called Championship Rough Stock Challenge, and it was a rodeo with only rough stock stuff. And
I felt like that sounds familiar to me.
I think it grew a somewhat of a leg, but it didn't really do much because whenever we went out to Arizona, I went with him. He was using my PA system for all his rodeo stuff and, you know, acting like I was involved in it, but I wasn't at all, other than my equipment and him trying to be a father after, you know, 21 years or however old I was. But, yeah, so him and his girlfriend get in a fight at this bar in Arizona, and I only knew, like, two people there through him, and Luke I met through one of those people that night. And him and his girlfriend got in a fight. Not Luke, my dad. And they, like, leave me.
Same
at this,
difference.
They leave
Same
me
difference.
At this fucking
Daddy
bar.
Luke.
Yeah. They leave me at this fucking bar. And I'm like, what the hell? And Luke's like, man, this guy sounds like a real piece of work. And I was like, yeah, he is. He's like, you want to come build fence in Colorado for like, a week? And then I have to go back through Amarillo on my way to Tulsa to get a horse, and I was like, yeah, sure, fuck it. So I ditched my yeah, so
you
I ditched my dad
you
in
just
Arizona.
Left him the PA and everything?
Yeah, I left him with all that shit.
Screw it.
Left him. We went up to Colorado and worked for a week, me and Luke and Willem. Good guy. And
Luke's been on the podcast. If you're listening, go back and listen to the Luke Darling episode.
Yeah, it's a good one. I don't know, I haven't heard it. But but we, so we worked, and then we go to, we went through Amarillo, and I was like, yeah, we'll just take my truck to Tulsa to get your horse, and we blasted off to Tulsa and raised hell out there. That's where Luke met Dylan Sampson out there. He told
also
Caitlin
on the
Butt
podcast.
He told Caitlin Butt she smells like his mom, and she didn't
his
like
grandma.
That. Oh, his grandma, yeah.
You told her that?
Oh, it's so funny.
We went
we went to Stillwater. To this bar where Garth Brooks got, like, his start or some shit. And this lady's telling us about all that. And she finally shuts the fuck up. And Luke's like, oh, yeah. Fuck Garth Brooks. We were asked to leave that establishment.
Oh, man. Luke, it's like,
that was awesome.
I would have liked to met you a little bit in your wilder days.
I had to take a shit on the side of the road on that trip. That was a fun trip.
I need to do something like that.
That was great. That was like our, within a month of, not even a month, like 2 weeks of knowing each other. That was our road trip.
Yeah, that's good. Well, hey, special bond.
Yeah.
From that stuff. I mean, those are the kind of things that make you be friends with somebody for a long time, you know?
It was fun.
Fuck Garth Brooks.
What bar was that again? Stillwater?
The wooden penny or the wooden nickel or something shit
it
like
was
that.
The day Guy Clark died, and they weren't playing no Guy Clark.
That's what it was. Yeah. We were on the way up there, and we got the news that Guy Clark died.
They played Garth Brooks every day, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Well, there were some other tourists in there that were real big Garth Brooks fans, and me and Luke had been drinking all that day before, and then all that day. A lot of drinking happened on that trip. And so we were just hung over the entire time.
We need to do a trip now.
Yeah, I'd love to.
We need to get Garth Brooks on the podcast.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
I'll slide in his DMs. I'm sure he'll respond.
I know Randall King can probably make it happen.
Yeah. No, we need to do that. We need to do that kind of thing now before we get too old, you know, make sure. Shoot. One of our guys already married. We're on the way to the grave already. No, she's great though. She's cooking us hot dogs right now.
I got a girlfriend about to move in with me.
Oh yeah,
dude, start a business with me. We're starting a business.
You know, since we'll get to that company here in a second, but since I've met you, you've been a single guy, like you said, you were living in Stephenville.
I've been a single guy.
Party town, bunch of college girls, and then you get here to New Braunfels. You're like, all right, next stage of my life, a little bit more mature, but still kind of party,
yeah,
still kind of fun, right?
My partying has never really consisted of like chasing women, though. Women have never been the key goal to my partying.
Yeah,
just getting drunk and having fun is more my party speed. Women tend to fuck that up. They're real buzzkills.
Yeah,
sometimes.
They are. Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you something later. but you know, you were kind of going out with, you know, having little dates here and there and stuff. I mean, we all are, and except Luke because he's married. But you know, you start talking about this girl that you met at Mosey's, and you're like, yeah, I'm going on a date with her. I'm like, let's see a picture. That's what everybody asks, you know, nowadays, because you can look them up.
Right.
And I'm like, dang, you know, she looks pretty cute. And then you start bringing her around, and like, damn, dude, she's really good looking.
So when I met her, I was with...
I was a little surprised. I was like, he's been out of his league here.
Right? So when I met her, I freaking didn't have... I asked for her Instagram, and my friend that was with me, his girlfriend hit me in the leg and was like, get her number. Like, be a gentleman. Don't get an Instagram. I was like, all right, that's cool. That's a good deal. So yeah. I got her number, and then that next day I went out on that month-long tour that I got a gun pulled on me and shit. And then, so that whole time we're just, she found me on Instagram, and I went through her Instagram, and she had like four pictures, and they were like of flowers or something. Bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is fucking rad. Like, she has no...
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah. She has no pictures of herself in Cancun wearing a fucking thong or some shit, like, or, you know, doing some dumb, hoary ho shit.
That's the only way I'll date a woman is if they have that.
I know. I'm just kidding. And that's always been my type, but I can't ever get that type. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so I hit her up. After that, I saw that. I texted her, and we texted that whole month that I was gone on that shitty tour. And when I came home, we just started dating. She's pretty rad.
Yeah. No, she's been really cool. And then she's about to move in with you. You got a really great little spot.
Cool house.
Just finished up your chopper in there, your long chop.
Yep.
And as soon as you finished it up, you bought a bunch of screen printing stuff.
Going into the screen printing business.
Dude.
Shirts and thongs and...
Anything you want.
Cups. Probably not cups, but thongs.
Okay, we are.
I just want to do some thongs, man.
Oh man. Well, no, like, I mean, that's a business that, I mean, everybody needs something printed.
Yeah.
I mean, we just got hats printed for this podcast, right? Yeah, you would have been the guy to do that. Well, do you have a hat set up? Do you have
No, but it came with a mask set up. So we're going to ditch that
shit.
We don't
want that around here.
We're
going to
sell that and buy a hat thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the hat deal, for sure.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody in California or something will buy a mask thing.
What is the name of the company?
So we're going to call it Hondo Custom Screen Printing after our dog, Hondo.
There you go. That my dog almost killed.
Yeah.
The other thing I'm impressed about your girlfriend is that she doesn't hate me right now.
No, yeah, she's super cool.
Like, she was so
she's
nice.
She's way cooler than I thought she was going to be.
Me too.
I thought we were going to have to bury that dog and say it ran away.
Yeah, and I thought I was going to have to bury my dog just to say I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it was...
You know? So, yeah, I got...
She was way cooler than I thought she was going to be.
If you got me on Instagram, you've seen my dog Gunner, and he's a little...
He's a sweetheart.
He loves people, but the older he gets, the more he hates other dogs. And yeah. He's a little half French bulldog, half old English bulldog. But, man, he's got something in him. Like, he likes to throw hands.
And me and Megan, said girl, got a puppy.
Yeah, a little relationship puppy.
A little relationship child. And we brought him around. Or no, we were at my house.
Yeah, he was finishing up his chopper. Everybody was kind of hanging over there.
There was too many goddamn people in my house.
Drinking beers.
Which is always
the lady
case.
I've been seeing. Not anymore.
Oh.
No, that's all right. We're still good. But the lady I've been seeing.
It was like 2 days ago y'all were together.
Well, we're friends now. we'll talk about that over hot dogs. No, but she came into town. I was like, and she came pick me up. I was still working, and I said, hey, let's go over to Caleb's and see how his chopper's going. Everybody's over there hanging out. We'll bring some beers and just watch. And you were like,
I didn't invite one person to that house.
And there was like 20 of us there.
There was 20 people there. I didn't invite one person.
And you're like, I'm getting this bike running tonight. And I brought Gunner over with me, of course. And he has Pup in the back. And he's like, you think they'll be all right? And I was like, yeah. Gunner can be a jerk sometimes, but they'll probably be fine, you know?
And I took that as like, maybe he'll just like, you know, check him.
Well, and that's what he's done in the past. Like, and he doesn't.
Which
I know
is
he does.
No big deal. If it was just a bite, yeah.
He's done that to my friend's pups before.
He needs
he's checked
them
and
too,
bit
them,
made
them
bleed.
He's a puppy. He needs to learn to fuck off.
Well, he bites Caleb's dog, and you know puppies. Whenever they get bit, they make a big deal out of it. You know,
like
it's like a kid falling
off
on the ground. They start crying and stuff, and it's usually not as bad as it sounds. Well, you know, his dog starts yelping and is bleeding, and if they get bit in the mouth, like, they bleed quite a bit. And I was like, that's not a big deal.
Very dramatic. It was very dramatic.
You know, and then Caleb's like, I don't know. And then he lets his girlfriend know, and I was like, all right, here we go. I'm going to be in trouble now.
I tried I looked at every which way not to have to call
Well, and you were right. Come to find out, my dog snapped and broke his jaw in half.
Yeah, broke it in two places.
In two places, yeah. And broke some teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and it wasn't
teeth.
Like a long fight. It was like we heard
no,
your
yeah,
dog yelp and run into the house.
Yep.
So it was like one bite.
Yeah.
And anyway, impressed by the fact that your girlfriend's just been so cool about
it. She's been cool about it, and we did a GoFundMe, which covered the whole thing. So
yeah, and I.
And the
nobody's
fine.
Out. The
he's,
dog
he's
is
back.
He's all right. He's
Gunner's
gonna,
buried in my backyard.
He better not be. I'll be pissed. He got, you know, he's still in the cone of shame and has a muzzle, but we go in tomorrow morning to see how he's doing.
That's
they
great.
Should tell us that we can take the cone off.
Yeah.
Because it's been, what, like over two weeks, right?
Yeah, it's been like more like three, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it happened on like the weekend before Easter Sunday. So all these, like the closest vet I could find to get the surgery done was in Louisiana. And so we were going to have to drive all the way out there and have to leave him there. We were going to have to get, like, a hotel for, like, 2 days or some shit. It was, like, it was a mess. But then, like, luckily the next morning some things fell through fell into place, I mean.
So shout out to everybody who did the GoFundMe.
Yeah, thank y'all so much.
And
for little Hondo.
Yes,
100%. Now we have Hondo's custom screen printing.
There you go.
Soon to be Hondo Enterprises. We have like all kinds of shit.
Hondo Worldwide.
So, Hondo Worldwide. So, tell people how they can sliding your DMs and stuff.
Yeah, you can find me Caleb_Allemand Instagram. That's about it.
And
don't look me up on Facebook. Don't look me up on Twitter because I don't do anything on there.
Gotcha. But you got you have a pretty nice polished album out there too. Talk about that.
I listened to it.
I was impressed.
I got like a little EP out there floating around.
I thought you had a full 10 songs.
It's like 6 songs.
Okay, it's pretty. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 6 songs. I did it at out there in Stephenville with Josh Serrato and Ben Hussey, and they did a really good bang up job on it.
You're on Spotify, iTunes.
Yeah, it's on everything.
All that.
I got a song I recorded with Culture Wall that's about to come out too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been sitting on that for a couple years.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, I've been sitting on it, but it'll come out this year.
He's been hanging out around here, hadn't he?
Not recently.
He was with Bo, right? He was kind of down here working.
Yeah,
with
he
Bo.
During the COVID, he was down here. I think working with Bo Smith on that ranch out there, Swiftwater.
Yeah,
isn't that what it is, Swift?
I don't know.
Camp Swift. That's what it's called.
I thought that was pretty cool though. Cause there's
So while he was down here recording that last album he put out, that's how long ago it was. He had some extra time and he called me up and asked if I wanted to come do the song that we had played together before. And I was like, hell yeah.
That's cool, dude. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, nobody does. And I want to keep it that way until it's nice.
Until it's ready to go.
Yeah, until it's ready to go.
Yeah, heck yeah, dude. Well, slide into his DMs on Instagram. For collaborations and business only, because he has a girlfriend.
Spell your name one last time.
F-U.
Okay.
Well, Caleb, good to talk to you.
Yep. Always great.
Let's go drink some more beer.
Let's do that.
All right. Bye.
Bye.